بسم الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيبنا أبو القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام، والحرمات قصاص، فمن اعتدى عليكم فاعتدوا عليه بمثل ما اعتدى عليكم، واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى is talking to the Messenger of Allah and to the entire Muslims about respecting some important month in the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse educating Muslims about how to confront the enemy in those holy months. In the first place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it mandatory, wajib upon the Muslims not to fight in some Islamic month or in some holy month. In Islam, those months are called Ashhurul Hurum, means the blessed or the holy month in Islam. In those months, Muslims are not allowed to fight. They are not allowed to do anything that has to do with the bloodshed or anything, or violence. And those months are, number one, the month of Dhul-Hajj. Number two, the month of Muharram. Number three, the month of Rajab. Number four, and Dhul-Qa'dah. These are the 4 months that Islam does not allow a Muslim to fight in those months. So when the non-Muslims or non-believers, when they found that Muslims are not allowed to fight in those months, they wanted to attack Muslims in that month. In one of those months, thinking that Muslims will not fight back because their Islam, their religion does not allow or permit them to fight in that month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this verse to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him that, oh, the Messenger, Ash-shahrul haram bish-shahril haram. It is because of their disrespect of the sacred month that you are also allowed to retaliate against them in the sacred month. In the first place, you are not allowed to fight them in those months, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hajj, Muharram, and Rajab. You're not allowed to fight them. But if they fight you, if they attack you, are you allowed to retaliate and defend yourself, or no, you are not allowed to defend yourself in that holy month? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are allowed to do so. Self-defense is wajib, even if it happened in those holy months. You have to defend yourself. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ash-shahrul haram bish-shahril haram. You know, if they fight you in that holy month, in that sacred month that you are not supposed to fight in the first place, but because self-defense is wajib, you are allowed to defend yourself. Ash-shahr in Arabic means month. Al-haram means the sacred or the holy. And the word haram comes from the word al-hurma, or it comes from the word al-hurma. Al-Hurma means something that you should protect and respect. Something that you should save and respect is called Hurma. So in those months, which we mentioned, the word the month of Dhul Hajj is Al-Qa'da and Dhul Hajjah and Muharram and Rajab. These are the holy month that Islam told the Muslims that they should respect this month, and they should also make sure that they don't do anything that has to do with the violence or has to do with anything like that during this holy month. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ash-Shahrul Haram, is the month that we're supposed to respect and the month that we're supposed to save. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٌ حُرُمَات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say the حُرُمَات is also the plural of the word حُرْمَة. And حُرْمَة also is the same as something that you should protect and respect. And some said no, the حُرْمَات comes from the word الْحَرَم, because it's the place that you should respect. And that's why we call Masjidul Haram, the sacred mosque, the mosque that you should respect, and you are not allowed, or a person is not allowed, to do anything that will disgrace or humiliate or disrespect that particular place or the mosque. And this is why anything that is not halal or that is not allowed to do is called Al-Haram. For example, drinking alcohol is called haram. It's also from that word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٌ. وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٌ. That if anyone transgresses against you, you also may retaliate against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving a best answer to those companions, because after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Muslims that when the non-Muslim attack us during these holy 4 months, we are allowed to retaliate. Some Muslims did not understand that how did the Prophet, or how was the Prophet allowed a war in those holy months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that question, saying that وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٌ, which is a bit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering their questions. That yes, it's true that those months are sacred, those months are holy months. But at the same time, when someone attacks you, it is wajib to defend yourself. It is mandatory to defend yourself, even if that attack happened during those holy months. Because Islam does not say that you should stand and fold your arms and let others to come and attack you and do injustice to you while you are looking and watching. As we see some other religions, for example, the Christianity, which says that if someone comes and attacks you, or when someone comes and hits you, so you turn the other side of your face and allow them to hit you again. Islam does not allow this kind of act when someone attacks you. Because number one, it gives the tyrant or that person, it gives him a chance to attack more and more and do injustice more and more. So based on Islam, to defend yourself or to stop this injustice, Islam says that you have to stand for your right and defend yourself so that that person will not continue to do injustice to human being. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued saying, فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if anybody does any injustice to you, You also may retaliate against them to an equal extent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now designs the law for all Muslims, that when someone comes and attacks you, even though Islam makes it clear, sometimes someone attacks by mistake. That is out of context. If it happened by mistake, Islam says you are not allowed to attack that person because it's a mistake. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He made it clear that man i'tada alaykum, that when someone attacks, violates your right intentionally, what are you supposed to do? Do you have right to retaliate back? Or no, you have to stand and fold your arm and look at that person and let him get away with whatever he did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. You have right as a Muslim to retaliate, but to the exactly or to the equal extent. Here you have three options here. Number one, the first option is to retaliate equally, exactly the same. Number two, to retaliate less. Number three, to retaliate even more than the way he attacked you. If it happened equal, if you attack him back equal, then you say that's fine in Islam. Number two, if you attack that person less than the way he attacked you, or you retaliate less, you still say. But if you retaliate more than the way the person attacks you, which is in the most cases, then in that case you become the tyrant. If the person, let's say he hits you, for example, 10%, and you hit him 40%, then you are you did injustice in that point. Because what Islam says that you are allowed to do to retaliate, but you have to make sure that you did it in the same equal manner he did to you. If you do it more, then you are a sinner in that part. If less, you're okay. If equal, that is what Islam requires. So always when you retaliate, you have to make sure that you know the limit. If you go beyond that limit, you will be considered as a sinner in Islam. That is one. Number two, there is one important sin, and that is, most people think, based on this verse, that if someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when someone does wrong, you can retaliate. People do misunderstand this verse. Or people misinterpret or mistranslate this verse in most cases. For example, you see some people, their understanding of this verse is this, or is that, if someone comes and kill my brother, for example, then in order to retaliate, I am allowed to go and kill his brother as well. He killed my brother, retaliate, kill his brother. That is how some people understand this verse. Because Quran says, مَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِالْمِثْلِ. To do exactly what he did. And what he did was he killed my brother, I go and kill his brother. That is some people's understand. Or someone comes and hits my brother, I go and hit his brother. Someone kills my father, go kill his father. Does it work that way? Or no? Of course, that is completely mistake or misunderstanding of Quran. when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when someone attacks or when someone transgresses against you, you also may retaliate. Islam doesn't say that you have to go in, you have to go attack innocent person. If someone attacks my brother, his brother is innocent in this case. Why should I go and attack his brother? What Islam says, if he attacks your brother, if your brother wants to retaliate, he has to retaliate to him, the aggressor. He has to attack, or she has to attack the person who did the attack, not his brother. You have to attack the same person who did the injustice, not other innocent people of his family. That is completely misunderstanding of Islam. Islam does not allow us to go and attack innocent person because of the crime of their relatives. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ أَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِالْمِثْلِ, it means that to attack the same person who did the injustice to you, not the other relatives of him. That is one part. Number two, sometimes some things happen. Someone attacks you or he does injustice to you. But Islam does not allow you to do the same exactly injustice. But you have to retaliate, but in different way. How? For example, when someone comes and burns my house, for example, in this case, based on this verse, am I allowed to go and burn his house too? Oh no. The answer is no. We are not allowed to go and burn his house because he burned my house. So what should I do in this case? What you should do in this case is that person who burns the house, he has to pay equivalent of all the damage that you did to the house. That is what he's supposed to do. That they have to calculate and see how much damage he did to the house, and then ask him to pay exactly that damage. Islam doesn't say that, oh, since he came and burnt my house, I have to go and burn his house as well. No, it doesn't work that way. Why? The philosophy is this. It's burning his house. If he comes and burns my house, I'm supposed to burn the exactly amount, exactly place that he burned in my house. But number one, if I want to burn his house, because houses are built in different ways. So if I want to burn his house, for example, if his house is smaller than my house, or it's other way around, then of course it's difficult to do exactly the way he burnt my house. So to avoid this, Islam says, you have to, or Islamic government has to ask that person to pay exactly what he supposed, what he burnt, after estimating all the damage in the house, and get him to pay that to the person he did the damage to. That is second part. The third part is that sometimes some people do some aggressive things, for example, but Islam does not allow us to attack them back or to retaliate. How? For example, may God forbid, if someone comes and rape someone's daughter, for example, or someone's wife, for example, am I allowed to go and rape that person's wife too, or that person's sister? Based on this verse, unfortunately, some people think that, yes, it works that way. That since he comes and rape my wife, for example, or your sister, or anybody, then that gives me, or that allows me to go and do the same to his family. in Islam, it doesn't work that way. Just because he came or he did this injustice and raped someone does not allow me to do it in the first place, in the, as a retaliation. In this case, he has to be dealt in different way. Number one, in Islam, if someone rapes, his punishment is death penalty. So in that case, what you have to do is, if you live under the Islamic government, is to get the Islamic government to take care of it. But if not, that does not allow you to go and do the same thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنِ اَتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَعَتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِالْمِثْلِ. It doesn't mean that you have to go and do the same thing that he did. So when we go to this verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when someone does injustice, or if anyone transgresses against you, you should also may retaliate against them. It doesn't work in every single thing. There are some things that you can do, and there are some things that you are not allowed to do. And one of those things is what we mentioned in raping, for example. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man i'tada alaykum fa'tadu alayhi bimithli ma'tada alaykum," you have to always look to make sure that whatever the person does, it is allowed in Islam for you to retaliate or not. Because sometimes we might want to retaliate, but Islam does not allow us to do so. And then if you do so, you will be the sinner in that case. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all that, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have a fear of Allah. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, have a fear of him? Because the having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what will minimize or what will make you to think before you act. Because the taqwa is a power that gives you a thinking, it allows you to think and see what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you act. Because most of it, when someone attacks us, we don't think before we act. At that point, the shaitan comes in, and when we retaliate even worse. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, wattaqullah, that before you retaliate or anything, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, he wants us to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, wattaqullah, means fear Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he would like is that for you or for us to forgive that person. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Aliyun alayhi afdalus salatu wassalam, in one of the beautiful hadith that he says, "A'fu amman zalamak." You see, when you can, forgive anybody who does injustice to you. And in the hadith he said, there are three qualities. If you have them, you shouldn't worry about anything in your life. Number one, al-afu amman zalamak. When you have the character or the behavior of forgiving anyone who does injustice to you. That is one quality. Number two, silman qataq. If someone cuts a relationship with you, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen said, always make sure that you keep that relationship. A person trying to cut a relationship with you, Imam Ali said, always you try to make sure that you keep that relationship. That is number two. Number three, one of those three things that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned, is that always think about doing good to the others and do not expect them to say good things about you. Whatever you say, whatever you do to people, do it because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never expect them to say good things about you. And even if they say, even if they do say bad things, don't let that to be an obstacle for you to continue your good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse also emphasizing about the importance of taqwa. Then at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا know أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He supports the pious. مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The beautiful part is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah is with. مَعَ means with the pious person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is with their pious people, is to tell us that if you are with someone, a good friend, when you are with your friend, and the person is in a problem, do you protect and support him, or do you leave him alone? Of course, a good person, a good friend, is the friend that stays with the friend and supports him during the difficulties and be there for his friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is a good friend. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, He is with the pious people, that means that in any problem that you might face, any problem that might come on your way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there to help. In any difficulties that you might find yourself, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, with the pious. So basically what this verse wants to tell us is that, about the three things. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say that in Islam there are some months that you are not allowed to fight. But when someone attacks you, even in that month, you are allowed to save yourself. You are allowed to defend yourself. It's the same thing like we mentioned in the previous verse. You are not allowed to fight people in the sacred mosque. But when they attack you in the sacred mosque, are you allowed to defend yourself or no? Islam says yes, you are. Number two, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ, if someone attacks you, if someone does transgresses against you, what should you do? Islam says, yes, you're allowed to do so. But when and where? There are a lot, as we mentioned in different books, in the fiqh books, that allows you, what are your limits when someone attacks you? Or when someone does transgresses against you, what are your limits? What are the things that you are allowed to retaliate? And what are the things that you are not allowed to retaliate? And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, that have a fear of Allah. وَعْلَمُوا, and know, أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with the muttaqeen. That if you are muttaqi, if you have a taqwa, if you are a pious person, always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the second being with you always, wherever you go. And as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, then there's nothing to worry about or nothing to fear about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, to tell the muttaqeen, to give them assurance that as long as you have a taqwa, I am always with you. The second being